This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, it is the beginning of December, and I was so happy to hear from three listeners who completed NaNoWriMo, and they were so happy about it, and they're really excited to tell me about their stories and how they're going to continue. But I got one email from someone who, well, he didn't finish and he feels bad. And he actually wrote, he said, "I don't know if I can ever finish. Anyway, I'm not really important." And it broke my heart. And so I want to play this song, which I found so inspirational. And it is by a writer who I had hoped actually would be on the program today, but he can't join me, but I can play his music. So I want to play this song by Kevin B. Edwards, and it is a beautiful song, and you know who you are out there. You are important. Everyone is important. Don't give up. So here's the song from Kevin B. Edwards.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. Throwing in the towel. Sometimes I can't hardly face another day. I am assured that God will see me through. It's working for my good. It's working for my good. Sometimes the clouds hang low. I can't even see my way. I ask the question, when things will ever change for me. I am assured that God will see
Wow, that is so beautiful. And we have an expression in Yiddish. It's beshert. It was meant to be. In a way, you know, I really wanted Kevin to be on the program today, but I'm happy in a way that he's not, because I wouldn't have had time to play both of the songs that I'm going to play, first this one and the next one, because I think this song, it was really meant to be. It came at the right time. Because any of you out there who you were trying something, so for many of you, I know I haven't heard from all of you, who didn't complete NaNoWriMo, but it doesn't mean that you can't continue writing. You can make your own NaNoWriMo. You can do it. You can say December. You set your own deadlines and just have fun and find that joy on paper. And I have a feeling that you know who you wrote to me, that you did find something while you were writing. And I think that now I hope that we can inspire you, that everyone here at Joy on Paper and Kevin B. Edwards, who wrote a wonderful book called Kevin Turns Fear to Feet, into Feet. And so I'm going to have talk about this in a minute. But first, Devon Miller, who does our book buzzes, is the one who discovered Kevin. I discovered Kevin, but Devon Miller was so thrilled with the story and with the beautiful book, and I'm holding it up to the camera because we're on YouTube, and it's a lovely cover, and it's a story very from Kevin's heart, and we're going to play Devon Miller's book buzz that he did for this book, and then after that, I'm going to play this beautiful rendition of Silent Night that I think will put us all in a December mood. But first, let's go to Devon Miller's book buzz.
Hey everyone, it's Devon Miller, author and illustrator of the Mr. Tickety Tock Clock children's book series, reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest on children's book buzz. The holidays are coming up, and that means you might hear some Christmas carolers outside your window. Maybe you might even hear Kevin from the book Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, because Kevin is a great singer. Before Kevin had the courage to sing for a big crowd, it took him a while to conquer his fear. Written by Kevin B. Edwards and illustrated by George Franco, Kevin Turns Fear into Feet tells the story of Kevin, who's a bit scared to sing in a school program because his teacher asked him to. With a story similar to the character of Kevin in the book, the author was inspired to write the book after a teacher brought a third grade student to him who sings. The author's first impression was that she lacked confidence and self-esteem. Due to the author meeting the student, he wrote the book to honor her. Overcoming his own fear, Kevin B. Edwards is now an international gospel singer. This book serves as a great help for kids to overcome their fears and insecurities. When reading Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, I think kids will turn their own fears into feet. This is Devon Miller reporting for Joy on Paper. For more book buzz involving children's books and authors, head on over to radio-joyonpaper.com and click on Devon Miller's book buzzes. I think it's about time that I buzz out now.
Well, as I said, it was really meant to be that I would have, first of all, one of the things that I am so impressed with is when somebody comes out and really tries to market their books and goes out there and finds people to help promote them. So when Kevin Edwards sent me this book, I was so impressed with it. I read it, and it's about, you know, right now where everybody is talking about bullying, and it is so important that we read books like this, books where kids can, you know, it is terrible, and you'd think that people would get over it at some point. We have seen enough movies, we've seen enough films, we know that bullying is bad, we know that it's, that you don't know, you know, when you're in school, you know, you might be short and people will tease you for being short. You might be tall and people will tease you for being tall. It doesn't matter. Or you have an accent, which happened to me when I first went to move to the city from the country. So it's just, I just wish, and at some point people would just sort of get their act together. And parents, it is up to you, because I know that I never bullied anybody. I would never have bullied anybody because I was raised not to bully people. And my first experience with bullying was when I was in third grade and we moved to the city. And actually, the first person to bully me was a teacher because I spoke in a funny way. But after that, I think perhaps because my father stood up for me, my father made sure that she never teased me again. And the other kids stopped too. And so you go through these things and you never know. That short kid might, you know, grow up to be a great scientist. That tall kid might grow up to be the best, you know, the best at something else. You don't know. And that's why parents really, they have to take on this job of reading books to their kids, like this inspirational book. Because here you have somebody who's shy. And Kevin was shy. And I was actually shy. People don't believe it today, but I was very shy as a child. I was very shy, and that's probably why I read 10,000 books, because I was always reading a book instead of trying to get out there. But, you know, this is why it's so important that people write their stories. And if you didn't succeed in NaNoWriMo, you know, this is a one-time thing you do once a year. They have this. But every time that you have an idea, just jot it down on paper, save it. Sometimes, you know, you might not write your book for years. But if you keep notes, you can go back and it all comes sort of back to you. And that's why it's so important. And I really want people to, I'm going to play in a little while, this beautiful song. And a absolutely wonderful rendition of Silent Night. Now Kevin Edwards is a gospel singer, and he's out there. He's got a beautiful website, and I hope that you will go to it, because you can find out more about his music. He's a writer, an artist, and it's Kevin B. Edwards with a B. And I'm going to just say the B is for the best. He is the best, Kevin B. Edwards. And check out his website, kevinbedwards.com, to find out more about him, to find out more about his message to people, about goodness, about being kind, about trying. And that's so important. So although he's not with us today, he's going to come. He's busy now until December 23rd, I think. December 23rd, he's going to be on the program. And we'll get to talk to him about his journey and how he went from being shy into now a big gospel singer. And I hope someday that he will win a Grammy Award, because I think his voice is so rich and so compelling. And that's why when I listened to it, I was just taken away. Then, one of the things about Joy on Paper, and that's been a thrill for me almost now, it's going to be 7 years in March, is when I discover somebody who just, I think, can change the world. I think Devon Miller will. Devon Miller is so fantastic. He is a young man who has really just gone out there and made people aware of reading, reaches out to children, reads to children every week. And he has this wonderful series, Mr. Tickety Talk Clock books, again, to encourage children to read and parents to share in teaching their kids about goodness. So I'm going to play now. We'll go to the full Silent Night as it was recorded by Kevin B. Edwards. You can also go to his website. I'm sure that you can find there links to how to buy this song, and you will want to have this. December, and I think we all need to, in these troubled times, we all need to calm down. We all need to think about this season and about what it means, the true meaning of this season. So let's play the entire song Big Ed in the control room. We're going to play the song right through. And I want to just thank Kevin B. Edwards. I know he's listening today remotely, but I just want to say thank you, Kevin. Thank you for inspiring me. Thank you for inspiring my listeners, because I know they will come away knowing and feeling better today because they've heard your voice.
Called him the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, and the Everlasting Father. Because you see, 700 years prior, it had been prophesied a child would come out of the city of David to save the whole world from its sins. On this special night, Mary and Joseph were told there was no room in the inn for this special baby boy to be born. That night was not only a special night, but it was a holy night. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Holy night. Holy night. My Savior was born.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you ready to eliminate your home energy bill? Well, get ready to harness the sun. Go EHS, Effective Solar Solutions, by Efficient Home Services. With no upfront costs, you can save money on your utility bill and even eliminate your electric bill altogether with EHS Solar. Call EHS, the number one solar installer nationwide. We know how to customize your home. EHS handles every project in-house with no subcontractors. Remember, no upfront costs, tax breaks, and the best company in the business, Efficient Home Services. Schedule an appointment today at 727-353-3757. Visit our website and download your free buyer's guide to going solar at www.goehs.com. Go solar, go savings, go EHS. Call 727-353-3757 today to talk to our experts.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
50 years ago, Jim Lamb left Vietnam after serving in the Navy, where he fixed radios, played ping pong, and swept floors. Jim wrote about his time in the service in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales, the story of how he survived Vietnam and kept a sense of humor. The book is available on Amazon. Just type in Orange Socks and Other Colorful Tales. You can also visit his website at www.jslstories.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And again, I want to remind everyone that I was, in the first half hour, I was playing songs by Kevin B. Edwards. And you can go to his website and find out more about him, also get his songs. And the name of his book is Kevin Turns Fear into Feet, and it's available on Amazon and I'm sure other bookstores too. But it is a wonderful book, perfect for this season. A great story, and Kevin will be with us a few days before Christmas. And I think that his rendition of Silent Night is one of the most beautiful that I've ever heard. So I hope that you will check him out. And now, since we were talking about NaNoWriMo, again, I was very impressed with all of you who finished NaNoWriMo, because I think that's great. And if you didn't finish, you just continue writing on. But one of the things I think that, I was very touched by those of you who said that listening to Jim Lamb's Literary Gems, where he explains just some literary terms that you might not know. And these help you to think in terms of being a writer. So I want to play one of Jim Lamb's Literary Gems, and we'll play that now. And again, we're doing these just to give you an idea when you're writing of what to think about.
It's a beautiful morning. The sun is out. Birds are chirping. Husbands hug wives. Moms kiss their kids. The perfect day. Then bam! Flight 11 hits the World Trade Center. The first domino has fallen. I'm Jim Lamb. Let's get started. Let's say you've written a story, but something is missing. What is it? It could be the inciting incident, that first domino. In Hamlet, a king is killed, starting a chain reaction that leaves Denmark in ruins and a bunch of people dead. Romeo and Juliet even ends worse. Ah, that Shakespeare guy. What a writer. But it's not just the bard who knew how to ruin somebody's day. In Die Hard, John McClane wants to reconcile with his wife. If Hans Gruber picks another building, John and Holly might reunite without incident. End of story. How about Star Wars? If Darth Vader doesn't stop Leia's space cruiser, she delivers the Death Star plans without incident. End of story. More examples? Bruce Wayne's parents don't get shot. No Batman. Bruce the Shark goes to Brazil. No Jaws. Lucy, Edmund, Susan, and Peter never visit Narnia. No lion, no witch, no wardrobe. But wait, there's more. What if Harry Potter never learns he's a wizard? The tornado doesn't take Dorothy to Oz. Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth never meet. No pride, no prejudice, no nothing. So writers, do yourself a favor. Ruin somebody's day. Start a chain reaction by knocking down that first domino and let the others fall where they may. Kerplunk, kerplunk, kerplunk. I'm Jim Lamb, and you just learned a little something-something about inciting incidents.
Okay, I'm so happy to welcome back to Joy on Paper. She could come every week. I'd be happy to talk to her.
Betsy.
Hi, Valerie Tripp. How are you?
I am fine. I'm so glad to talk to you today. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Another great book. I love Izzy Newton and the Smart Squad. And this book is number 2, and it's called Newton's Flaw. Oh, my goodness. Does she have a flaw?
She does have a flaw, Patsy, and I owe all the credit for that flaw to my wonderful group of middle school girls with whom I've been meeting for about 3 years, my Lunch Bunch girls, because I said, what do you hate to do the most? And they all said, we hate standing up in front of a group and speaking. So I gave that flaw to Izzy, my main character, to overcome and figure out a way around. So I owe a huge thank you to my Lunch Bunch girls for inspiring that idea.
Well, you know, that was my flaw. I was so shy.
Radio person?
I know. Nobody could believe it. Before I started this radio program, I'm talking like 2 days before, I was like the shyest person you could ever meet. I was so shy. Well, that's why I read 10,000 books, because I was shy. And getting up in front of a group of people terrified me. And when I told my family, and I didn't tell them until a few days before I started the show, because I didn't want them to laugh at me, and they did actually laugh at me. They did not believe it. But something happened. It's like magic. I got behind the microphone, and now I can't stop talking. So,
wonderful.
Anyway, you had...
Gosh, it takes a lot of courage. A lot of courage. Good for you.
Well, you know, so that's why I really related to this book. I thought it was... It's just terrific.
Oh, thank you. And, you know, Newton's flaw, which is, of course, a pun on Newton's law, is used two other ways in the book as well, because of the mystery.
Uh-huh.
And Smart Squad stands for solving mysteries and revealing truth. The mystery is there's a flaw, a literal flaw, a crack, a fissure in the school building.
Well, we don't want to tell too much.
Trouble.
But this...
We don't want to tell too much.
Yeah, explain to people about the Smart Squad, where you got the... what the name stands for.
As I said, yeah, SMART stands for solving mysteries and revealing truth. So this group of 5 middle school girls pool their interests and their talents and their expertise in different fields of science to solve mysteries, things that are plaguing their middle school. My main character is Izzy Newton, who's a physicist named for Isaac Newton, and her friends are Allie Einstein, who's a whiz at math, and Gina Carver, who's a wonderful engineer, and Marie Curie, who's a chemist, and Charlie Darwin, who's a biologist. And each girl brings this ability, this way of looking at the world, to bear on solving the problems and the mysteries that they secretly, they're a secret squad, they secretly solve for their school. And in this book, there's another mystery they have to solve, which is sort of a metaphor for this crack or fissure in the building. There's kind of a crack. There's kind of a division in the squad itself. The girls have a difference that they have to resolve, too. So flaw and crack is used actually three ways in Izzy Newton and the Smart Squad, Newton's Flaw.
Well, it must be so much fun for you to sit down with these girls and really, well, I think that it comes through in the book. They you know, it reads like you know, exactly how you think of young girls.
Yes, and I'm, again, indebted to not only my lunch group, but the many science classes that I Zoomed with during the pandemic and the many classrooms I have visited as an author in the past. I find students inspiring, not only specifically in terms of, you know, plot ideas and that kind of thing, but also inspiring because they're just so optimistic. They're so full of energy and potential and promise that I think comes through in the book as well, that they're just full of hope, and that makes them very fun to write about, and to see how they interact also is very, very fun for me. So yes, and here I was, as we all were, isolated during the pandemic, and I had the wonderful joy of spending time with these five characters, you know, and sending them off on adventures and everything. It was a great joy and a great challenge to spend time with the Smart Squad.
Well, of course, this is a National Geographic book, and part of the wonderful books that Nat Geo does for kids. I was raised on Nat Geo books, on magazines in those days, and I love everything that you guys do. And with this series and with, well, with all of this work that you've done for American Girl and just all of these series to help kids, in each of the stories, there's also this idea of cooperation, which is so important, and working together, which I think really is so vital nowadays that people, you know, we're having this horrible isolation for children. And I think that reading a book like this will help at least for them to mentally think about, you know, how nice it is to work with each other.
And, you know, Patsy, it seems to me that actually, for me anyway, and I think for most people, we have a daily struggle between, you know, identifying ourselves as unique individuals. We are separate individuals. And we're also members of families and neighborhoods and communities and classes. So we have responsibilities toward the group as well. And it's a constant, it's very hard to find that balance, isn't it, between asserting yourself as a unique and separate individual and then also being a loving and generous member of all of the groups that we are in and getting energy from those groups as well and contributing to those groups. So I love writing about sort of working out problems and showing that listening is important and respect is important and kindness is important and humor is important. And all of those things were modeled for me by the middle schoolers I spent time with. And I think credit has to go to the illustrator of these books, Geneva Bowers, whose illustrations, better than my words could tell, show how the group gets a big kick out of each other, how they laugh together, how they are occasionally cross with each other. She is just a genius, I think, at showing the emotions on the faces. When I get the story back after it's been illustrated by Geneva, I can delete words because her illustrations have shown what I was trying to tell, and she deserves great credit for that.
Oh, she does. They are wonderful. Every time you turn a page, you see something so wonderful, and it is really fantastic. What I love, now, I like science. When I was a kid, I preferred science to anything. And so I'm very happy with this, the STEM program, that they have finally realized the importance of really encouraging girls to study science. They put me in a home economics class. I had a course where I had to learn how to make a dress. Now, I was a scientist. I was always out there, you know, searching for things and learning about nature. And I was sort of a wild child. And so I'm so glad that they do have this encourage girls. It's great if you're into fashion. That's great. But you can also be, you know, into math and science. And I love the names that you selected for the girls. I think it helps, young girls who are reading this book, they'll say, yeah, you know, this is something I can do, too.
The names are very fun. And, you know, Izzy based on Isaac Newton and Allie based on Albert Einstein and Marie Curie and Charles Darwin and Georgina Carver. I had a lot of fun, Patsy. Also, for example, Izzy's cat is named Wickens because Isaac Newton's best friend was named Wickens. And Allie Einstein plays the violin because Albert Einstein played the violin. So I love to sort of feed in real personal facts about these scientists into the personalities of my current characters, and to show, you know, we're all doing science all the time. You know, even when you were sewing that dress, you were using math, you were using engineering. It's how you define what science is. And if we step back and take a broad and energetic definition of science, it isn't only what's being done in laboratories. What you were saying, being a wild child, being out there, you know, getting dirty and looking at plants and listening to birds and playing with your dog, all of that is science because it has to do with energy, dynamics, it has to do with growing things and nurturing things. It's all around us. We just have to, you know, kind of celebrate it in a way and not keep it all, you know, tucked away in ivory towers as if it's some arcane, untouchable thing. It belongs to all of us.
Well, I think what you guys do at Nat Geo for Kids is amazing. It touches my heart always when I talk to people and they will say to me, you know, that they were inspired by Nat Geo as I was inspired. And I think you are now touching this whole new generation of kids with these wonderful, wonderful illustrated books. As you said, the illustrations alone tell part of the story. Now, when you were young, were you...
I'm so grateful to National Geographic because it's a big commitment on the part of a publisher to include illustrations because illustrations are expensive, they prolong the production, they mean a whole other level of... in terms of design, and the National Geographic from the get-go said, nope, these are going to be illustrated, and the illustrations are going to be fantastic, and the art designers and the graphic designers, everyone contributes so much to these. I'm part of a team, as if I'm just like the Smart Squad. I'm part of a squad of wonderful people who make these books happen, all of whom are at National Geographic. It was their initial idea, and I just can't say enough about what fine people and artists they are to work with.
Well, I think all of you people who work at National Geographic are so lucky. You have the best jobs in the world because you're doing something that you love and that you know will help people, and you're getting paid for it.
And, you know, National Geographic also, I'm so grateful to them because they have created a wonderful website called SmartSquadBooks.com. And readers can go to that website and find out more about the science behind the stories. You can also go to natgeo.com/info and find out more about these stories and find, you know, hands-on projects you can do yourself. So you can expand the universe of these stories. You can just blow it wide open by going to these websites and having the experience of having the fun of doing scientific experiments yourself.
They are beautiful. And Nat Geo Kids website is a, I think it's so much fun.
I do too. During the pandemic, I kept saying to parents, go to Nat Geo Kids website. There's a million things for your child to do. Say your child's interested in birds and owls or something, you can just see films, you can listen to the owls, you can learn about them. It's just very engaging and absorbing and so well done, just really top notch.
Absolutely, and there are so many parents now who are homeschooling, and I'm a big believer in letting kids run. When they are interested in a subject, let them run with it. If suddenly birds interest them, let them go for it. You know, let them learn everything they can about birds. And everything else, sort of, you can blend everything else. As you said, even with dressmaking, you can blend in math. So, you know,
For example, in this book, Izzy likes the sport of ice hockey. And it turns out there's an awful lot of physics involved in ice hockey, in playing ice hockey. So Izzy brings her knowledge of physics to bear literally onto the ice. And she and her brothers developed this fabulous shot, this unbeatable shot called the Skidizzy, that allows her to score points for the ice hockey team. I like to show the interaction of, you name the field, if everything is connected. Sports very much connected to science, and that, you know, everything that we do can be interconnected if you step back and allow, as you say, the child to pursue that curiosity and that interest.
Oh, because it is really to read and to have this ability to go out there and do this kind of research and have the Nat Geo behind you nowadays. It's just it is the best. There's no, actually, you cannot compare any other program to what you prepare for kids and the different, like the different websites and all of the material that's available through Nat Geo is so, when we talk top-notch professional, you are the best. You are, you know, the gold standard. And I'm sure everybody, you know, who you know is in education always looks at Nat Geo and says, wow, that's a gold standard, what you put out, the work that you put out.
What, Patsy, too, you know, I'm kind of new to Nat Geo, and I have to tell you, one of the things that's been a surprise and a delight for me is their sense of fun. I just had a pizza party to launch Izzy Newton and Newton's Flaw, and oh my gosh, we made volcanoes from Coca-Cola and Mentos that, you know, erupted and spilled all over the place, and we ate pizza into different shapes, and we gave the kids bubbles. They're blowing bubbles all around. I love how, you know, if we're tolerant of chaos and mess and that kind of thing, the children get so engaged and have so much joy. And all the time, this is science, that's math, that's engineering, that's technology, interacting with all of those elements in nature, and just plain fun as well.
Exactly. And you really, Nat Geo puts the fun in learning. And they have been doing that since 1888.
That's what it was, Patsy. I thought, oh well, oh my gosh, you know, this is kind of a long-standing, highly respected. I thought, oh, I was kind of intimidated, and what a pleasure it's been to find full of joy, full of fun, full of energy, full of great new ideas, just popping all the time. Wonderful organization.
Well, because I think we're happy. You know, most people, when they have kids, they'll say, you know, they want to raise them, grow up to be a doctor, grow up to be a lawyer. For me, now, looking back, if I had more kids, I would say, grow up to work for Nat Geo. And you'll be happy. It's a better job than being the president of the United States. It's better than, you know, being a lawyer stuck in a courtroom. It's better than being a doctor, you know, it's just better. It's like, that's what I would tell my kids. Grow up to work for Nat Geo, and you will be happy always. Right?
Well, and I think what I hear you saying, too, is that one of the wonderful things is an organization that has so many facets to it. You know, it's not just making widgets. It's doing something very important. It's you know, their motto is exploration happens because of you. So, see what I mean? It's inviting and engaging and empowering, and it has so many different parts to it that you can pursue and enjoy. And I think that's what makes it sort of magical.
It is.
And that's an energy that they have allowed me to put into these books as well, to show not only the scientific concept, but the interpersonal concept. They're very open to that, and the aspects of sort of child development and personal development and emotional intelligence, a multi-layered story, and a story that will, I hope, feel as though it's about a friend, someone who resonates with them. And I think that that's a brand new thing for Nat Geo to do, and they are pursuing it with great intelligence and expertise and energy.
Well, I think so too. And Izzy Newton and the Smart Squad, Newton's Flaw. It's a wonderful book. And this is the time of the year, if you have any children in your life, get them this book. And if you don't, this is a wonderful book to buy and to send to a local children's hospital, because they need books for their, you know, nowadays they can't share books in the hospital, and children's hospitals really need books. So if you don't have a child in your life, go ahead and buy book one and book two of The Smart Squad and send it to one of your local children's hospitals or to Shriners or St. Jude's. I think that's a great idea.
What a good heart you have. What a good, generous heart you have. That's so kind of you. I send books to the Women's Prison Project because women in prison need books to read aloud to their children when the children visit. And that's an organization out of Minneapolis that you can send books to as well. Isn't that kind of you to think of that? Thank you for mentioning that.
Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned yours too, because this is what, it's so wonderful, wherever there are kids, and also to your local food bank. If you just want to pick up some of these books and deliver them to your food bank, your local food bank, so you know those books are going to go to kids who really not only need food for their bodies, but food for their minds. And people will say, I started recommending this a few years ago because people would say, well, you have kids, you review kids' books, and I don't have any kids in my family. I don't know any kids. And I said, yeah, but there are lots of kids out there who need books. Mm-hmm. So take it, you know, to a food bank or just order online. You don't have any problem. Just say, you know, give them an address for your favorite children's hospital and send them a book. Send them a dozen books if you can afford it, because the book's a reasonable price and the kids are so, they are lonely there and they need books. So anyway, again.
Yeah, one of the great joys of being a writer is that I imagine my reader, and I want the book, the story that I write, to be a gift to my reader. I want it to expand the reader's world and make the reader feel powerful and engaged. And it's a great joy to me to think of this sort of silent communication between me and my unknown reader. And I'm grateful to that reader, because that reader brings my story to life. It's just words on a page until a child reads this story and laughs at a joke or is puzzled by a concept they haven't heard before. That's a connection that we've made, and I'm so grateful for it.
Well, Valerie Tripp, well, I love your name, Valerie Tripp. I love that name. you have done a terrific job with this series, and I know there's going to be many more, because once you're interested in the Smart Squad and you want to know what next challenge going to be. Again, thank you for being on Joy on Paper. Again, mention the name of the website.
The website is smartsquadbooks.com, natgeokids.com, or natgeo.com/info. All three of those will give you new insight into the world of the book.
Well, Valerie, I'm very grateful to you and for Geneva, who did a wonderful, wonderful job of illustration. And we'll have you back when you have book three, which I'm sure you're working on.
Ooh, yes, I've already finished it.
I knew it.
I look forward to talking to you, Patsy.
Okay, take care. Have a happy holiday, okay?
You too.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye.
Oh, she's so nice. I like her so much. These books. I wish I... I know. You know, you just... Sometimes you get a character that you just like so much. And I like Izzy so much. It's wonderful. Just wonderful. Do go out and if you have kids in your family, get the books. If not, send them to a hospital because they need the books. And, you know, Devon Miller spent... When he was a child, he spent a lot of time in the hospital. That's where he started to love writing and reading. And it's particularly at this time of the year, kids need books. And I hope that you will check out the Smart Squad website and order these books. And there's so many online things that kids can do, projects, and it's just a wonderful site. Well, everything Nat Geo does is wonderful. I just am so happy that I was able to promote Nat Geo books for Thanksgiving, which I hope will become a sort of a national day, Nat Geo Gift Giving Day, because it is a wonderful, wonderful company that really cares about the world, and they have done so much to promote reading and, of course, conservation. So check out that. And meanwhile, go to my website. I did a special birthday page for Tasha Alexander, whose birthday was yesterday. But I have a lot of photos up there, a lot of stories about Tasha and about some of the people who, you go check it out. It's at radio-joy on paper. Anyway, boy, this time has gone fast. Remember, just remember what I always tell everyone. One of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book. Or if you're very, very lucky, to hear the magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on the Hallmark Channel, like I am hoping for Carol J. Perry. And I think she's got two series now. I don't know. It's hard. It's hard to say which one would... Well, they both make great series. Anyway, check out Carol J. Perry's website and have a look at what she's doing. And also Rita Moreau, you have to check out her website. She's got some things happening too. Whoa, that hour did go fast. Anyway, I want to thank Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Big Ed, for everything. He got everything up and running for me, and he saluted me. I saluted him because I should have been a general. I would have been a great general. Oh, my goodness, I would have been such a great general. I want to go to the War College and talk to those people about it. Okay, bye-bye now.